1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Still to come on the program, Adam Proto of the Hockey News is going to join us in about 25 minutes' time. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. For a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. On tonight, his final night after two successful weeks at Rumors is Ryan Dalton. He was the winner of the Las Vegas World Series of Comedy. Two shows tonight, 7:45 and 10:30. And then starting next week, Trevor Boris. You know him. You saw him. He was on Conan O'Brien most recently.
Local guy.
Local from originally from Selkirk, Manitoba.
Yeah, I took a course with him at U of W. He's a really funny guy.
Hilarious guy. He's he was a regular at Rumors for many years.
Yep.
He's now made it to the big time Conan. He's out in Toronto all the time working for Much Music. So Trevor Boris for a week at Rumors starting on Tuesday.
Not to be confused with the incredible Boris.
Yes. Also, I've seen him. Also
twice.
A Rumors regular.
He's good.
Yeah. Aren't you still hypnotized from the incredible Boris?
Wasn't that just happened recently? That those people got hypnotized and they couldn't reverse
they couldn't,
it?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's baloney.
That wasn't English.
Baloney.
Well, after a few...
My grandma used to say that when she said that was...
Drew just got hungry.
It's true. Let's talk about the CBA. The negotiation...
What about the BLT?
The first offer from the...
Yeah, Drew was at the wagon wheel a couple days ago just giving its proper... The wagon wheel's closing down, so Drew made sure he had a couple club sandwiches before it shut down.
Just pulled out of his pocket last break.
None of that actually happened. But anyways, that's very clever. You guys are both very funny. Let's talk about the initial proposal from the NHL to the NHLPA.
it's great.
That
proposal is amazing. Okay, let's go over it.
Okay.
It's
reduce
great.
The players' hockey-related revenue, so their share of hockey-related revenue, which is currently 57%, reduce it down to 46%. That seems fair. You know, they go from having a 7% advantage to a 4% disadvantage. The next, by the way, when I say fair, I'm being very sarcastic. 10 seasons in the NHL before unrestricted free agency
status.
Now,
quickly qualify. We'll go over each one. But quickly, just to say, before the last CBA, the age of UFA status was 31. Remember, like, Kamensky, Valerie Kamensky, Fleury, all those guys came free agents, and the Rangers kind of loaded up on 30-year-old guys.
Right.
So that was actually 13 years. So now they're trying to go, and they went to 7. Now they're going back to the middle. That's probably how they thought of it.
Which is, we'll go through the list of them, and then we'll go back to them. Contracts limited to 5 years in length. That's the maximum length contract is 5 years. We've heard a lot about a maximum number of years in contracts after seeing all these 10, 12, 13-year contracts. The elimination altogether of salary arbitration.
Don't really get that one.
Well, it's inflationary.
Right.
So,
anyways, we'll go through each point afterwards. Entry-level contracts are 5 years in length instead of 3 years in length.
Yes.
And then the final one, the elimination of signing bonuses, and that the salary in each year of a contract is the same.
So
for
example,
sign a 5-year, $20 million contract, you get paid $4 million per year.
Right, and like a deal like Erhoff when you're getting, or even Parise when you're getting like something close to 10, over 10 million, 15 million, whatever it is, I think 20.
Yeah.
I think Erhoff was making 10 or whatever it was in the first, whatever it is in the first couple years.
There's no more front-loading of contracts.
That's right.
You know, so that's what it would do. Let's start with the first one. The first one is reducing the player share of hockey-related revenue from 57% to 46%. This is the most comical of all the proposals.
Yes, and we know quite well that they're going to go somewhere in the range of 50 because the NBA is a 50. I believe, right? And the NFL is right around there, too?
Yeah, I think the NFL is maybe 52, 48, somewhere
around.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you're looking at around that range. So what they're doing is they're starting low. Now, there's two types of negotiations, Drew. There's negotiations where you put this extreme offer out like the NHL did today or yesterday night, and then you're going to try and meet somewhere in the middle, right? So you're kind of showing them where your best case scenario
proposal for the NHL owners.
Now, that's not to say every negotiation goes like that. If you have two parties who get along well, have respect for each other, then you can have a good faith offer that's very close to what you think will be the final result. In this case, Donald Fehr and Pierre Bettman are not exactly the best of friends. So don't expect that to be the case here. So the players are going to probably have a counter offer with something far, far apart.
Increased revenues from 57% to 90%.
Yeah. So let's go over this one. So this one, you know, 57 is high, 46 is low. They're going to try and meet around the 50 to 52, 53 area.
Right. I mean, what the NHL did is, I mean, it's not a scorched earth policy, but it's,
nope.
You know, let's see if we can, you know, this is what our best case scenario proposal would be. And in the best case scenario, the NHL would see the players only getting 46% of revenue.
Drew, I think
it's not
there's
gonna, it's not, that can't be, they can't be drawing a line in the sand there, because that's not a reasonable, it's not a reasonable proposal.
I forget who said it. It might have been Bob McKenzie or someone else, but someone said that this is a utopian wish list. And really, in reality, this is just beginning the serious negotiations, because now I believe they're meeting. I believe today Darren Dreger tweeted that Bill Daly and Donald Fair are meeting on the weekend. So when they're meeting on the weekends, it's getting a little bit more serious. But this is just setting the bar. And as far as the first one, the first point goes, I think that's. I think they know that when they really get down to it, it's going to be, like Richie said, in the 50% to 52% based on what the NFL did. And
based on what logically is a fair compromise is around, right. You know, you take 100% of the pie and you split it in half.
It's coming down, though.
Each gets it's going to come down, yeah. Because revenues have skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's what the owners are saying is, look, our revenues are way higher than we ever thought they were, especially in the last CBA.
You're not getting that 57% anymore.
So if you get 46%, what you're probably doing is getting a, you know, where we thought revenues would be based on the 57% before.
And then the NHL Players Association, Richie, is going to come and they're going to say, well, what about all of the players that are responsible for that revenue going up? What about the Crosbys, the Ovechkins, mm-hmm. all the guys after the lockout?
What about the money you're making? If you're making money, exactly. Why can't we make money?
Exactly. That's a big one, I think, by the way. I think that's going to be one of the bigger ones.
Oh, that's the biggest issue. Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue. Once you get the revenue...
That's bottom line money.
Yeah, it's money. Yeah. It's guaranteed money. The players are guaranteed X percent of the pie. Once you negotiate what X is, everything else falls into place.
That's right.
The next issue before we have to head to a commercial break, 10 seasons in the NHL before unrestricted free agency status. You know, like you said, right now it's 7 years... or 27 years old.
And there was an exception under the old system, like Marty Lapointe, where you're making under the average. But
we're not going to talk about the random.
So, you know, you're looking at 7 and 13. Basically.
I like the Marty Lapointe drop.
Because in the previous CBA, it was 31 years old. And, you know, if you're coming into the league at 18, that means you played 13 years before you get the first chance to determine your own fate.
Now, so for example, you look at a guy like Evander Kane, who we were speaking about earlier. He's played 3 years. He has 4 years till he's UFA, because that's either... You know, it's either 27 or playing 7 years in the league.
Right.
So, if you're a hockey fan, if you're a fan of a team, and if you're maybe a fan of a team that's a smaller market team, and you're worried about losing guys like this, then, I mean, you want it to be longer.
Yeah. That way you can...
If you're a player, you want it to be earlier because you want the... you want to be able to sign...
The autonomy.
You want to be able to be Parisian suitor.
Yep. Right.
Not 30 when you're doing that.
I don't see this one. I don't see the players giving this up.
Yeah,
I don't either.
Giving that up.
This is one I don't see this one changing.
I don't see the players giving it up either. Because right now, I mean, you know, look, if the players could re-sign the CBA based on how the current terms are, they'd be glad to do so. Yeah. But let me, you know, as a fan, you want to see UFA increase in the number of years before players in UFA.
But on the other hand, maybe you don't, because then the players move around a little bit more.
Yeah, but I mean,
but I guess in this situation, if you have, you know, 10 years till you're a UFA, under this offer, you don't have 10-year deals anymore. So more trades will take place because you have less long term deals. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, but you can see both sides of the story on that one.
Yeah,
let's go to break. When we come back, we'll deal with the other issues related to the CBA proposal that was released yesterday, or leaked yesterday, as it were. And then we'll be joined by Adam Proto coming up at 10:30. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. Buying and selling a house is one of the most important decisions you will have to make in life. That's not a decision that you want to leave to an amateur. It's also not one that you want to take care of on your own. Get in touch with David Carr of Monopoly Realty at 230-6129. He takes all of the stress out of the home buying or home selling experience. He's a true professional. David Carr of Monopoly Realty. 230-6129. Continuing on with our discussion about the CBA, we dealt with the player revenue and we dealt with the number of years before UFA status. Next one, contracts limited to 5 years in length.
I mean, again, the owners, we said this on the show before, the owners are saving themselves.
From themselves.
Because you're giving out these deals. You know, it's like Craig Leopold said, and Remus, I'll read that quote in a second, but, you know, you're the one giving out these 10-year deals, 12-year deals, and then you're saying, well, we need to get rid of these 10 and 12-year deals. Well, you're giving them out. If you don't want them, don't give them out. Having said that, as a fan, you don't want these long-term deals. These guys get, you know, comfortable. Not only that, sometimes they don't perform as they should. Other issue, and the biggest issue is, as a fan, you lose interest because these deals don't get traded very often. So you see Jeff Carter move this year, but Jeff Carter's moved for another long-term deal.
Right.
So you want the five-year cap in the NBA. That's where they're getting it from. And NFL, obviously, there's guaranteed contracts. We talked about this.
No, not guaranteed. Not guaranteed,
excuse me. Yeah. And then MLB, you don't see it much, at least for pitchers and things like that. It's better for the game if the contracts are shorter. So.
Yeah, I know that Zach Parise and it's now Parise, by the way, and Ryan Suter are professionals, but it's going to be hard, you know, 10 years into a 13-year contract for them to be as motivated as they are 2 years into a 13-year contract.
Right.
And you're stuck with that. You just can't get rid of that contract.
Drew, on the topic of the terms of contracts and limiting them to 5 years, I mean, and, you know, Richie just said it. I mean, Craig Leupold has just given the NHLPA a gift. And, you know, by signing two guys to 26 years, I mean, it gives them absolutely no credibility to want to bring... Let alone dropping contracts down from 12 years to even 10, but 12 to 5, I mean, that to me, out of all of these things, and I realize that this is just the beginning of the serious CBA negotiations, but there's absolutely no way NHL owners are ever going to convince the NHLPA to agree to five-year contract limits. I think it's going to be tough to even do 10, but I think they're going to start with 5. But as far as I'm concerned, you have to address these loopholes and these circumventions before you can get anywhere close to talking about limiting contracts to 5 years. The problem is the fact that guys like Ilya Kovalchuk, Parise, Suter are going to be making $1 and $2 million a year in the 10th, 11th, 12th years of the contracts, just so that the average annual value can be down. I think that's more of a problem than, I mean, if an owner wants to sign a guy to 13 years, it's pretty clear that they're going to do it. I mean, they're showing no, they're not scared to do it. So
the best irony of this whole thing is that Craig Leupold is part of the NHL's negotiating committee. So the fact that he's giving out these contracts with his left hand and then he's handing over this proposal with his right hand, you know, the hypocrisy is not lost on anybody, I would hope.
Want me to read you the quote from Adrian Dater and SI? So this is from Leupold before, okay?
Yeah.
This is what he said in April to Michael Russo of the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
That's only 3 months ago.
We're not making money, and that's one reason we need to fix our system. We need to fix how much we're spending right now. The Wild's revenues are fine. We're down a little bit in attendance, but we're up in sponsorships. We're up in TV revenue. And so the revenue that we're generating is not the issue as much as our expenses. And the Wild's biggest expense by far is player salaries.
And then
he went out and signed $200 million worth of players.
And then if you heard the comments after, said, oh, there's still an issue here. It's like, well, you're causing the issue, and now we need to fix the system. You're causing the problem that you're saying needs to be fixed. That doesn't make any sense.
It's entertaining, though.
And the problem you have is the owners are selfish. And they want to win, and they're competitive, and they don't treat it necessarily always as a business because they're in an emotional, competitive environment. So they take their thoughts and their ideas that they have, maybe another business, and they're more disciplined about. And instead, they lose it, and then they make these signings, and then they try and argue that these signings are a broken system, but they're causing the broken system. It's all backwards thinking.
If they were a true businessman. If they truly only thought as businessmen, they would never sign a contract. You would never guarantee a contract for that many years and that much money.
We talked about it last week, Drew. I you could make the argument, and we're not talking about the CBA right now. We're just talking about, in general, business decision. You should never really sign anybody unless it's, you know, maybe a Sidney Crosby, a Steven Stamkos, more than 7 or 8 years.
No,
even those guys shouldn't get longer than that. But when you're giving a guy who's 27 years old, and you know, you guys know how much I like Zach Parise.
Parise.
Well, his dad's JP Parise, so Parise. You guys know how much I like him, but I still 13 years is it's too much. It's just it has nothing to do with the CBA. It's just too many years.
Next proposal that the NHL put forward: no more salary arbitration. Now, explain this one: why they would want to get rid of salary arbitration. why the owners would want to get rid of it.
Well, the owners, you know, you can, they have team arbitration now where a team like Vancouver can use it against Mason Raymond and kind of shoot salaries down. Those are very rare. So what happened, you know, that's just the qualifying offer, excuse me, just to qualify what I'm saying, no pun intended. But in terms of salary arbitration, you know, the player team can opt for salary arbitration. I believe it's two players a year they can do it for, and you can't do it to a player in his
2 years
in career more than once.
Oh, it's okay.
So you can't opt into arbitration as a team more than once for one particular player, and I think you're maxed out to 2 a year. I believe that's how the CBA reads. Any event, what you're doing in salary arbitration is, generally speaking, the player, you know, you've qualified him, you've given him a 10% raise, and the player isn't satisfied with that being his contract, so he wants to go to arbitration and have a third party decide it, obviously.
Right.
Now, the issue is, if you don't have arbitration, so you give him the 10% raise, and he's unhappy with it, well, then you both sit there and you negotiate. And who has all the leverage?
The owner.
So why would you want arbitration?
A couple of things popped up when I saw this, though. The first question was, why does the NHL want to take this out?
Look at Evander Kane right now, Izzy. Look at Evander Kane. He's got no arbitration rights. What's his leverage? Demand a trade?
That's about his only leverage.
That's it. Go to the KHL? He's not going to the KHL.
And the other one I was going to say is, do any of the other three professional leagues have no salary arbitration?
The NFL does not have salary
NFL
arbitration.
Does not,
baseball
think,
does.
And I don't think NBA does
NBA
either.
Doesn't, and baseball
well,
does.
Well, and baseball, you see a guy like Ryan Howard, I mean, yeah, when he was, you know, or Pujols, when they were very young they went to arbitration, got huge contracts.
When you go to arbitration, Drew, again, you're not happy with the qualifying offer. So it's inflationary because it's automatically going to be higher than that.
Unless you lose in the arbitration hearing.
Which, like, look, for example, Shea Weber last year.
Right.
Some teams also don't want to hurt the player, so they give an offer that's not even close to acceptable.
Right.
And then they pick the Nashville offer.
Right, which is what happened.
Now, in the NHL, the arbitration, and I'm almost positive about this, you pick one or the other on the arguments.
That's right.
As opposed to baseball, an arbitrator can pick a number in the middle.
That's right. In NHL, it's the team comes in with $5 million,
low.
The player comes in with $10 million, so and the arbitrator has to pick one of the two.
That's different. Yep. That's very different. Because if you're worried about the risk of a player, you know, say a player, you go in and it's a player asks for four.
Yeah.
And you're really worried about the risk that he gets four. You're not going to offer three. That's another reason why it's inflationary. You're worried about that.
Right.
Well, you know, you're worried about him getting that extra bit, so you want to save the extra $300,000. Maybe you offer 3.7 because you know 3.3 won't get it done.
So it tends to escalate salaries is why the owners would want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Next issue is entry-level contracts are 5 years in length instead of 3 years in length.
Well, it's clear here. This is the reason. What's happened under this new CBA is the idea was after the 3 years in the entry-level deal, you would, you know, you have all the systems in place, you know, restricted free agency and arbitration where, you know, they talked about this at the Blue Jays. Alex Anthopoulos talking about how you don't really want to sign long-term deals really anymore. Some teams don't. After the first couple years of a player's contract, because you're not sure what's going to happen. You don't want to lock it in too much. They're pretty volatile.
Well, they saw what happened with a lot of the players they signed to long-term contracts.
So what's happened in hockey is there isn't a second contract really anymore.
Right.
You know, the Bogosians and stuff like that those happen. But for the most part, you're getting Richard's 13- or 10-year deal after the first 3 years. So the second contract has gone by the wayside. And the problem there is when you have a 10 or 13 or Drew Doughty 7- or 8-year deal, and their cap hit is basically what it will be in the marketplace, meaning they're not taking into account the fact that they're not unrestricted. Mm-hmm. And they're restricted. So you own the player's rights. Instead of signing him gradually higher and higher and higher, they're just giving him what he's worth in the market right now. I mean, right now, as if he was a UFA, essentially.
That's right.
And so it's inflationary as well. And that's another problem you have, is there's no second contracts, or there aren't as many as they thought. So what they want to do is kind of extend the first contract as opposed to relying on themselves to enforce a second contract.
It's obvious that they can't. They're putting all these rules in place because they can't control themselves.
Absolutely.
That's what all these different maneuvers are, is protection for their own stupidity. I mean, and it's blunt, but that's what it is, you know. It's protection, you know, why should an owner, that's all the owners are ever doing, is protecting themselves from themselves, like you said. You're right, so entry-level contracts, you know, boom, you draft a guy, he signs his contract, you know you have cost certainty for the next 5 years as opposed to 3 years, as they currently have it. And then after that, if the guy performs, you increase his salary and everything else, but he's not eligible for unrestricted free agent dollars.
They've been too stupid to use
the second contract to their advantage.
That's right.
And they're trying to protect themselves by extending the entry level deal.
Instead of buying out RFA years, they're just immediately buying out RFA years and UFA years.
At UFA numbers, basically.
At UFA numbers, and damn the torpedoes and everything else. Nothing else matters.
Because when you do 10-year deals, you got to buy out all those UFA years. So essentially, you don't have a second contract.
Exactly right. Let's leave it there. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about this with Adam Proto of the Hockey News. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome to the program. He's our good friend. He is a writer and columnist for the Hockey News, Adam Proto. Adam, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Thanks.
There you go. How you doing, Adam?
I'm great, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking a moment.
Thanks for coming on with us. Let's start with the initial CBA proposal that was leaked out yesterday. You know, you're quite vocal on Twitter. People should follow you on Twitter at Prototype to get your insights. But simply, have you stopped laughing at the NHL's initial CBA proposal?
No, I've gone. I've alternated between laughter and outright anger, where I just have to go out the backyard with an axe and a piece of wood and start swinging at something. But it's really tiring for me now, guys, having gone through the CBA garbage last time and seeing what a real fraud it was in terms of how the league painted it as for the fans, and they were doing it for all the right reasons, and it was about competitive parity and all this nonsense. Anybody that wants to look at the real bottom line of what went on there should know it was really about two things. It was about cutting off the head of the snake that everybody in NHL circles loathed in Bob Goodnow. And the other part was about franchise values. And no matter what the NHL says right now and all the propaganda it's going to trot out in the next few months, the bottom line is NHL franchises, I believe, are up on average about 74%. So that tells you really all you need to know about the ultimate goal of these guys.
Was there any part of that offer, Adam, that would appeal to you as a fan in terms of some of the changes?
Oh, sure. I mean, I understand the reasoning for capping contracts at a certain number of years. I don't know that five is necessarily fair, but I think for a long time people imagine that they probably wind up at 6 or 7, 8 years, and I think that's okay, because you do have to, again, to some degree, make it impossible for these owners to have to scheme and undermine their own collective bargaining agreement, which is really the circle of life in labor circles now. From watching this thing go, basically through the same process each time. They call it a victory for the owners after every CBA. The last one was basically written by the owners, and they call it idiot proof, and then they start going to work being idiots, trying to poke holes in it. So to me, there are certain elements I think that are worth exploring, but when you start off with an opening bid of I guess a 22% pay cut, as it turns out, at a time when we're not even talking about a deflationary business, guys, to me, that is just reprehensible.
Does it seem like, Adam, and this has been talked about many times before, but Gary Bettman's always trying to follow what David Stern does, and that's really been his MO. And you look at this offer, take down the cut the players get, the NBA players get, I think it's 50, right? So get around there, so follow that lead. Take away salary arbitration. NBA, no salary arbitration. Cap contracts. NBA, no cap contracts. Why doesn't he just take the NBA CBA and propose it to the players?
I wouldn't be half surprised at that. I think it's probably tailored a little bit differently based on their much larger television contract and things like that that make the NBA solution a little bit different. But hey, I agree. I mean, I think you should have, Larry Bird rights, for instance, to go over the cap and sign a player that you've developed to reward teams for doing it that way. But there are just so many elements to these things, and I think one of them is the fact that if you look, guys, I believe Proskauer Rose is the legal entity that looks after all the pro sports now, baseball, football, even Major League Soccer. So the big five, if you want to call it that. And as you say, they've all got the same strategy. They've all got the same talking points, as it were. And the players you know, it's a hard sell for players to come out and talk about it publicly, because they know there's a level there of, you know, if not out and out jealousy, then just a misunderstanding of, you know, of really what it is to play hockey. And that's kind of what I wrote about in my web column for the Hockey News this week, was just, you know, the ability to see these guys as businessmen in a major entertainment product. That's what these athletes are. They're not, you know, just the guy that happened to get lucky. I mean, sure, they hit the genetic lottery, but they, you know, they've worked hard, they've sacrificed, there's no chance the ticket prices are going down, as we saw last time in the last course of the CBA. They only go up, and yet, you know, the owners somehow, I guess, are emboldened by the way things went last time, by the fact that people came back in droves, and so now they're shooting for the moon. You know, on one hand, it's hard to blame them in that regard, but I think, again, we're talking about a business that has increased by more than $1 billion in the life of the collective bargaining agreement, and for them to then come back to these players and start to ask for these huge retrenchings and you know, get back to the days where they're closer to indentured servitude than actual, you know, free employees or guys that have to earn their time and get something for it, is just shocking and alarming to me.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Adam Proto of the Hockey News. Adam, you know, in the previous CBA, you mentioned that, you know, the owners sold it to the fans as, you know, ticket prices are going to drop. It's going to be better for, you know, for fans. Obviously, things that didn't happen. Obvious, you know, pardon, you know, the expression, but BS is what it turned out to be.
Right.
You know, how can the owners go back to the fans again for the second time in less than a decade and try and sell them, on how it's necessary for there to be another work stoppage?
Well, this is what I'm going to be fascinated to see, guys. I mean, the PR tack that they take is, you know, unless they come out with something that is like a hypnotizing effect or like a Men in Black magic wand mind eraser, you know, they're going to be in really tough to convince anybody that they are doing this for all the right reasons. They can talk about competitive balance. They can talk about, you know, players being buried in the minors or cheating that way. But the reality is, I mean, the league is competitive. There is a much bigger balance. And I was one of the guys who supported the idea of a salary cap last time. But, I mean, even look at you guys in Winnipeg. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets had a season ticket base, you know, guaranteed for what, 5 years?
Yep.
For all these seasons. Tell me there's another marketplace in any market in any pro sport that has that kind of guarantee of a profit. I don't know that there is. And so for this league to then come back arrogantly to players and say, it's not enough. You know, we need to be safe from ourselves. We need you guys to pay the price and escrow for us deciding to stay in Phoenix, or for, you know, the Ilya Kovalchuk first contract circumvention. I just think it's outrageous. These owners are the ones that hand them out. Craig Leopold is a laughingstock in my mind, given, you know, the fact that April he comes out and makes these statements about we have to change the spending and then throws, you know, $200 million roughly at two players. It just shows you that these guys want to have it both ways. They want to have, you know, the ability to go out and make a splash and claim, you know, that it's all for business. But it's really an ego boost for much of these guys. And then when it doesn't work out, they want the players to pay for it. And I just think, you know, after having seen what happened last time, that's a highly unfair attitude to take, and I really hope, and you know, to your original point, I don't know that the fans will be the deciding factor. I think there are a lot of people in the hockey world who think it really doesn't matter what the fans think, but I don't know. I think the fan reaction and the tenor overall of what goes on here will be much different than last time, because people just, you know, if they're not really paying attention, they may fall for the owner stuff. But if you're, you know, a sentient human being and you have a memory, you know, that lasts back 7 years, you should know that the party line doesn't really add up this time.
Adam, we've already heard a lot about hockey-related revenue, or they've already created a clever, and I'm being sarcastic when I say clever, acronym, HRR. And, you know, it was part of that, and you wrote about this in your web column about expansion and relocation fees, and obviously the most recent example was, of course, the Atlanta Thrashers moving to Winnipeg, and the players obviously didn't get any of that. Is there any you know, talk or rumblings that the Players Association wants to receive a part of the expansion or relocation fees as part of that hockey-related revenue?
Oh, sure, sure. I think there are people, whether they're agents or players themselves, who don't understand why that's not hockey-related revenue. If, you know, if people want to talk about Wayne Gretzky as one of the reasons why the league expanded into the Sun Belt territory in the States, it wasn't because Wayne Gretzky was a great talker off the ice. It wasn't because Bruce McNall, God knows, was a great owner off the ice. It was because of the players on the ice and what they did there. And so for this league to, you know, decide that it only wants to be partners with the players under certain circumstances, I think that's preposterous. And again, I think the language of the CBA is quite clear that the players don't get anything. But I think they will certainly push for more. They'll certainly push for more say in supplementary discipline and player safety. There was that ping pong little NHLPA tournament that went on charity thing in Toronto on Thursday night, and I was talking to, you know, Steven Stamkos there, and he said basically that he thinks that they're going to make a bigger push in terms of player safety, in terms of concussion awareness, things like that. So I think overall, you know, the players and the NHLPA recognize that all the meaningful reins of power in terms of the day-to-day running of the business or, you know, the on-ice product is really in the hands of the owners. And if these owners really want to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, they will, you know, cede some of that control to the players. Now, that said, I don't believe for a second they have any intent on doing it. They only want to pretend they're partners when they're, you know, giving players the right to not wear visors and lose their eyesight. It's just an upside-down world in a lot of regards. And again, I think, you know, the union can criticize them for a lot of things too. Certainly they've been more than willing to put, you know, safety below money in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, I think at least there's much more of a willingness on the NHLPA side to talk about doing something meaningful. At this stage, I really just see what the owners say as lip service.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Adam Proto. He's a writer for the Hockey News.
Adam, Donald Fehr, I guess that's the big wild card here. We know there's nobody better, really, in terms of representing the players. Why do you think his role, well, we know what his role is going to be, but how do you think him being in this picture will affect how this all plays out?
That's a good question. You know, I think he is painted in a lot of circles as this big boogeyman, and maybe rightfully so, guys. I mean, I don't personally think the Major League Baseball structure that he has set up is great for that sport. I think if you talk to people in Kansas City or Pittsburgh who, you know, don't even really have hope from year to year that they can compete with the bigger markets, I don't think that's a CBA or a labor structure that works. But that said, I mean, you're talking about an entity, the NHLPA, that really has an awful and ugly history of leadership, of internal power grabs, of different goals within the union. And so I think for him to come at this point in the history of that organization is a good thing. He is someone who makes it very clear that he doesn't have any real designs on strategizing beyond what the players want to do. He's going to give them fair information. He's going to be a tough negotiator. He's not going to be pushed over or made to, you know, to play pal with the owners, as some people thought Paul Kelly did, but I don't know that I'm in that group, but at the same time, I think they realize that they want someone who can swim with the sharks and do some biting back. And so I think they've certainly got one in Don Fehr. He's not going to be, you know, willing to just sit back and take what the owners give them. I think they showed that with the realignment rejection. And so, you know, for me, I think he's going to propose greater revenue sharing. I think he's going to try and provide some alternatives. And maybe, you know, this is the more interesting part of the negotiation, guys. But I think he's going to be looking at wedge issues for the ownership group. You know, there's not as much solidarity amongst the owners this time in a lot of regards as there was last time. Last time it was all about getting the salary cap in under, you know, any circumstances possible. But this time it's about plugging all those little cracks in the dam. And some of those cracks, some teams like, big market teams like, I mean, the Leafs and the Flyers and the Rangers love the ability to bury contracts in the minors. Yet the Carolina Hurricanes loathe it, and they see that as a cap circumvention. So, you know, I think if Donald Fehr is as smart as I think he is going to try and exploit that type of relationship between the owners. And I think even if you talk to people who were around in 1994 covering that process, I certainly wasn't, but people said to me this week that, you know, the 94 negotiation with the players wasn't nearly as much about the players against the owners. It was against the owners versus themselves once the players left the room. And I think that's what Donald Fehr is going to try and work towards this time around.
Adam, we have to ask you about this because I know you were talking about this on Twitter and all that. What did you make of Cam Jansen's comments and then his subsequent apology to Patrick Burke of You Can Play Project, and then he also apologized, obviously, to everyone?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was obviously disgusting, guys, and something that, you know, I'm 40 years old now. I can't believe, you know, that people had this attitude 30 years ago. It's so ridiculous, you know, so it doesn't hold up to any kind of logic or rational thought. And so for him to come out this way, I think in a way it was good because you get to see the hurdles that are out there in some of these regards of you know, changing people's opinions. But, you know, we had Patrick Burke on the Hockey News radio show that we do on Sirius XM yesterday. And he seems fairly convinced. He talked to Cam twice, he said, and really felt that, you know, that this was someone who was contrite and wanted to do the right thing. And actually, I think, as Patrick explained to us, the second time, Cam called him back. The first time it was Patrick calling him. The second time it was Cam calling him back to say, look, I know I'm still getting killed. I know you're on Twitter. I know you're still, you know, taking some heat for supporting me so quickly. But I really want to do the right thing. So, you know, as I said on Twitter, guys, I'm all for letting Cam Jansen have a second chance. He's certainly done and said some things in the past that, that I don't think are great for the game. And certainly even leaving aside the homophobia stuff, in that interview, the way he talked about, you know, his role on the ice should be very, very alarming, to star players and to a lot of players, you know, who don't take that type of predatory, tone. But, you know, it's a process. I think you're going to have some bumps in the road. But the nice thing for me, anytime this stuff happens, guys, is the increasing, rising tide of negativity that greets this type of stuff. I think it's kind of self-reinforcing, prophecy that we're putting together here, where we're just not going to tolerate this stuff anymore. And yeah, we'll be forgiving as Patrick Burke wants us to be. And yeah, we'll give people second chances. But for people to think that, that they can get away with this type of mentality or continue to, you know, to figure out ways to call guys, you know, names in the room without actually having to think about the effect, I think those days are gone, and I think that's a great thing.
Adam Proto from the Hockey News, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Some great insight into the CBA there.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. And hey, Jim Slater says to say hello, too. He sent me a nice message today, so he's thinking of you guys even in the off season.
Good to hear. thanks very much, Adam. Have a good weekend.
Have a good one. You too.
Take care. Adam Proto of the Hockey News. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Are you done rocking out now, Richard?
No, Weezer? Drew, you always talk too early. You let the music go.
I don't have to let the music go. We don't have that much time to begin with, and you want me to let the music go. Nobody wants to hear Weezer. They want to hear me. The people want to hear me. They don't want to hear Weezer.
They want to hear your sweat about your sweater, Drew.
Well, you know.
Drew, music is like a flower. You have to let it blossom naturally.
Well, you're going to have to cut your mic for the rest of the show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to Adam Proto of the Hockey News for having joined us. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire on the contracts that were signed this week. Let's start with San Jose. Mark-Edward Vlasic signs a 5-year deal worth $21 million. Your thoughts on the contract?
What do you mean, Drew? We just talked about what we're going to do in the segment. You've already bailed on it.
Over-under. Sorry, yeah. That's part of me. My
overpay
thought.
Or underpay?
Overpay or underpay on Mark Vlasic, 5 years, $21.25 million.
He took less money than he could have got on the market. Look at Matt Carl getting that money. He took 4.2 years. He admitted he took less money, happy in San Jose.
Vlasic's a good defenseman, and he pairs up with Dan Boyle, top pairing. And his point totals maybe aren't as high as they'd like. But I would have to say underpay as well. I like Vlasic. He came into the league young. He wasn't that high of a draft pick. And, you know, they have a pretty good defenseman there, and it's good to lock him up for 5 years. You've got Brad Stewart coming back. I don't mind what they're... They have some problems there, as Marlowe doesn't look like he wants to go anywhere. They have some problems on forward on their third and fourth lines there, but for as far as Vlasic goes, I'd say underpay.
Woltek Wolski to the Washington Capitals, 1 year, $600,000.
That's easy.
That's underpay.
Because he's making the league minimum.
Yeah, basically, I mean, you can't make much less than he's making it right now. And $600,000, and yeah, he's worn out his welcome in Colorado and Phoenix and New York and Florida.
some attitude or motivational issues. Talent-wise, $600,000. I mean, you put him with some of those guys, he'll get some points. That's an underpay.
Yeah, it's an underpay. It's all that one's obvious. I mean, Wojtek Wolski's his problem is he's always been asked to play a top six role on better teams with some players, and he's always had trouble with consistency. But you know, maybe it'll work out in Washington.
What's the worst that can happen? 1 year, $600,000.
Yeah, underpay.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Underpay.
Peter Mueller to the Florida Panthers. 1 year. Hang on. Just 1 year. $1.725 million.
It's underpay too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's a guy I thought the Jets would be might be in on, and yep. Why not, really? You know, what's the difference? You signed Pavel
Krosky. I couldn't believe how young he was. I could.
24.
That's what 24. Shocked me. He's been around forever, I think.
07 draft pick?
But, you know, the thing 06, about him is, 07. You know, he was a good skater, and then he got bulky, and then he slowed down, and then he couldn't find himself, and then he got concussions, and maybe some issues with attitude. I don't know. We're not privy to some of that stuff. But a guy like that who's 24 and you can sign and then retain his rights, to me, it's a no-lose situation.
It must have been 06. I think 8th overall in 06, if I'm not mistaken. But he missed the entire 2010-11 season with that concussion, then he missed time last year. That's another good signing. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit last week about Dale Tallon. I mean, that's a pretty smart move there. He's gotten the most out of Versteeg twice. It's a good signing. Underpay.
Chris Neal to the Ottawa Senators. 3 years, $5.7 million. Overpay or underpay?
About right.
or apathy, I guess, right. For a third choice.
Yeah, that's about right. I love Chris Neal. I mean, if you ask anybody around the league, you ask the tough guys around the league, they'll tell you Chris Neal is pound for pound one of the toughest guys in the league.
He
fan favorite
too.
In Ottawa. That's a good
too.
Signing.
He can play, and he's big in that team. And
he had 18 goals last year, right?
Is that when he got a veteran leader and get big in that community? And they didn't give him more than 3 years. Less than 2 years.
Maybe not 18, but it was around there. Yeah, he can score. He gets goals around the net, definitely.
Teddy Purcell to the Tampa Bay Lightning, 3 years, $13.5 million.
Richie, towards the second half of last year, if you look at how many points he got in the second half for Tampa Bay playing with Vinny LeCavalier, he was up there. I think that's around what he should have got, but if anything, a little bit of an underpay.
I'd say it's an overpay.
Really? So disagreement there.
Yeah, I mean,
the gloves are off.
Yeah, a little bit. His skating is a little bit of an issue. He's gotten better at that. He's gotten a little bit tougher
pure
in
sniper.
The corners.
Pure sniper.
But he's got good hands, good hockey sense. I just wonder if he's not riding some other players, whether he can perform at that level.
Quick thing to note. Last game of the season, Tampa Bay got the hat trick.
That's right.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stink like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Ezra Ginsberg, cheers or jeers?
Cheer, definitely easy. Eddie Olczyk and my boy Lou Lamoriello getting inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, and also Mike Modano.
I was going to say, what do you have against Mike Modano?
But obviously Eddie O, former Winnipeg Jet. We've had him on Illegal Curve a couple times.
I have. I interviewed him Wednesday on H&L.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You also have hobbies. Eddie Olczyk, Lou Lamoriello, Mike Modano, all well-deserving inductees into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame.
Richard Pollock.
An easy jeer. Jeering Craig Leopold. Don't go out and spend all that money on Parisian Suter and then say there's something wrong with the system and that you basically know you paid too much money. I mean, it's one or the other, Craig. You're going to use the system and get what you want from it, or there's an issue with the system that needs to be fixed and you're not going to engage in it. But don't play both sides. Many owners do that.
Can I cheer Richie's jeer?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not? I'm going to wrap up cheers and jeers this week. I'm going to jeer the fact that there's going to be two alumni games at the NHL Winter Classic this year. You know, I appreciate the nostalgia factor and everything, but I don't think it's necessary that there's two alumni games.
What do you mean?
Just make the rules up. Put more alumni on the ice. Who cares? It's a charity game.
Drew, remember how I asked if I could cheer Richie's jeer? I want to jeer your jeer.
I mean, Drew, when you grew up watching Ted Lindsay, don't you want to watch him play now?
Drew saw Howie Morenz play.
Yeah, producer Tim is encouraging you guys by laughing at your obvious jokes.
We didn't get one age joke in before because we're only doing 2 hours in the summer.
Tim actually wants to jeer all of us.
Can you blame him?
For the last 2 hours.
That's it. There we go. That's it for this Saturday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our guests, Mike Hyka of the Dallas Morning News and Adam Proto of the Hockey News. A big thank you to the Illegal Curve sponsors, Carbone Coal Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the Cheer Bar and Grill, and David Carr of Monopoly Realty. If you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Remember to follow us on Twitter @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. If you want our insights into everything Winnipeg Blue Bombers related, you can check out our other website, www.illegalprocedure.ca. Our Twitter page there is @illegalpro. Thanks for listening. Remember, if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.